Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. My sincere thanks for listening. Do please help me spread the word about this show. I would greatly appreciate if you would tell others to listen in as well, whether they are Catholic or not, and whether they are into sports or not. Hopefully you've been listening long enough to know that there are really impactful stories and powerful lessons coming out of the conversations on this show every week that very well just might be the help, the encouragement that someone needs to hear. So I'm grateful for whatever you can do to bring more and more listeners to this ministry community. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net, where you'll find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I sure love hearing from listeners, so please feel free to get in touch through any of those platforms or by sending me a message through the contact section of the website. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I don't know how obvious it has or has not become over however long you've been listening to the show, but to me, I think it's pretty clear that I really tend to be drawn to watching NHL games probably more than any other sport, with the possible exception of a too many men on the ice penalty. Whenever a player is sent to the penalty box, it's because he has committed an offense against another player. And yes, while we surely see players, and sometimes even their coach, arguing with a referee on a call that they don't think should have been a penalty, I've got to believe that when they sit down in the penalty box by themselves, watching their teammates skate shorthanded as a result, they are remorseful for their actions, especially when it results in the other team scoring a power play goal. It's actually similar to something that we see in the Old Testament. Psalms 51, 5 and 6 says, "For I know my transgressions, my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your eyes, so that you are just in your word and without reproach for your judgment." Friends, in our quest to live more like Jesus, let us remember that an offense committed against one of our brothers and sisters in Christ is a sin against him. Let us seek the sacrament of reconciliation during this Lenten season to seek absolution from those transgressions. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest was a tight end and long snapper who was drafted by the NFL's Buffalo Bills and went on to play for them, the New York Giants, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had played his college football at Notre Dame, where he was captain in his senior year when the Fighting Irish played in the BCS Fiesta Bowl game. After college, he played in the Hula Bowl, all of which followed a high school football career that saw him play on three state championship teams, two of which were national championships. As a senior, he was rated the number one tight end in the country. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Dan O'Leary.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me on today. I've heard so much about your show, and I just can't tell you how excited I am to be here today.
Likewise. Thank you. I appreciate you making the time. We just heard about three NFL cities you played in, plus a fourth where you played college football. But let's start by having you share where you were born, what the family size was, and about going to church very regularly as a very little boy.
Yeah, no, I was born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. I have an older sister, Margie, just a family of four. Like you said, my mom, she took me to Mass every single day at an early age. I think this is every day pretty much before preschool.
Wow.
And kindergarten. And yeah, and that's kind of where my faith and spirituality began.
Okay. Well, I'm impressed that for someone who's now in his mid-40s, you can point back to going through the sacrament of confirmation and being impacted by it.
You know, absolutely. And when I look back and think about where God's played a major role in my life, it happened at an early age. And that's probably because of the seed that my mom and my dad planted at an early age. But I remember specifically confirmation at St. Bernadette in Westlake. And we were with our eighth grade group, and we were asked to close our eyes and just kind of imagine going to the 13th floor of a 12-story building and walking down a long hallway and opening the door and There's Jesus there sitting on a couch welcoming you to come in and sit down and just talk to him. And that was really, you know, that was pretty powerful for me because, you know, the instructor at the time was just like, close your eyes, kind of really try to envision this. And then, you know, you're from that point on, you're in this conversation, you know, with our Lord Jesus Christ. And for me, it was really cool. Something I took with me, later on in life. And I still actually practice today with journaling.
Wow. Wow. I mentioned in the intro that you were quite active in football during your high school years, yet you must have been quite mature based on what you told me in the lead up to today as it relates to what you were doing spiritually during that same time in your life.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, my high school years, it was really about, you know, St. Ignatius did an unbelievable job of talking about what is God calling you to be? Like, how, and man for others, being a man for others is their motto. So I think you quickly realize at St. Ignatius where, you know, maybe it's been all about you for your entire life going, you know, through grade school, that it's not so much about you, but what you can do and what you can contribute to others. So, you know, the experience that I had at Ignatius was really just that, you know, and just, you know, just trying to, the other major thing was no matter what you were doing, try to maximize your God-given ability, you know, whether that's on the football field or whether that's walking the halls and using your personality and talking to somebody that maybe need their skirts lifted a little bit, or maybe that was in the classroom as well, you know, and maximizing your God-given talents and studying as hard as you can and, you know, trying to put forth your best effort. So, you know, that sort of mentality of, you know, just getting, doing things for the glory of God, that was really the emphasis.
But even in high school, you got introduced to the concept of goal setting.
You know what? Absolutely. There's a guy by the name of Marty Einan who introduced me to goal setting at an early age. And this is actually right around, it was probably freshman year. And, you know, ironically, early on, it was just about what I could accomplish physically and mentally, you know, like my goals were to squat or to bench in the weight room.
Oh, okay.
And what my goals were for in the classroom. And by the way, I still, since that time frame, I've written goals every single year. Like today, I could show you all the goals going back to that time frame. But
wow.
What was interesting, and you know how it really relates to this show, is that over time, and this is really my sophomore year, the spiritual element for goals really started entering, you know, that page, and you know, and I began to start setting like you know, just different scriptures and you know, and making that the theme of each year, and you know, and just like a different type of you know, theme, like, you know, you only live once, and you know, or, you know, this act like today is your last day, and what are the things that you would do, maximizing your God-given talents. And today, like, for example, my goals for this year, there's a guy that I listen to. He's a Christian guy. His name is Dr. Kevin Elko, and he's a great motivator. He's a psychologist that worked with University of Alabama and Pittsburgh Steelers and several other college and professional teams. And one of his segments in the 14-day challenge that he puts out there is, you know, just coming up with, like, you know, being crystal clear on, like, what it is that you, who you want to be, like, what is important to you. So, you know, my theme for this year is great, you know, be great. And the acronym G stands for God. And this is all in the importance of what's important to me in life. The priorities, but it would be God, relationships, you know, with my family and, you know, with my friends. E is for exercise. A is for abundant life. And I truly believe that God wants the abundant life for everybody. I don't think he created any one of us to be average. And I think he wants us all to be exceptional and to try to maximize our God-given talents. So that's important to me. And then the T is for thankfulness, you know, just just being grateful. I think there's just a lot of peace in just being grateful, and no matter what your situation is. So, so that's been a big part of my life, the goal setting.
I love it. Well, you attended Notre Dame, as I mentioned in the intro. Were you recruited there, I'm assuming? For that matter, I guess you probably got a scholarship. But how much did the Catholic element factor into deciding to go play and study there?
You know, it was big. And just going back to the Ignatius years too, I'll just real briefly. My theology teachers was Mr. Brennan and Mr. Healy. They were both Notre Dame graduates, and they played a major impact on just my life and just the peace that they had, and just, you know, the grace that they had, and they loved what they did. They did a great job of articulating what could be a subject that's kind of, you know, boring to high school kids, and making it very interesting. Mm. So, for me, it was very, it was an easy decision. I've always loved Notre Dame. My parents and my family have always loved Notre Dame. You know, the campus itself is just, it's so serene. It's so peaceful. The grotto, you know, the lakes there, the basilica, it made sense for me. I'm Irish Catholic. So
you were required by law to go there.
That's right. You can say I didn't have a choice. So.
But you know, it's silly that I asked you. I said, I assume you got a scholarship. You were rated the number one tight end in the country. I mean, that's a silly question. Of course, they had to have offered you a scholarship to come there, and probably other schools were as well.
Yeah, no, thank God, you know, I did, I was blessed with athletic ability I got a scholarship to Notre Dame, there were some phenomenal years there, and really, you know, really growth years too, from a faith standpoint. There's a story most people don't know, and I'm happy to share it today, is that I almost quit. There was a coach from my sophomore year that really rode me. I was like, you know, I don't know if this is for me. I remember my Uncle Tom, my late Uncle Tom, he wrote me a letter. He was the CEO of Walmart at this time. And, I didn't realize the magnitude of that in college, but he wrote me a letter. He said, don't ever let one man make you quit at anything. So it was very difficult. I decided, you know, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to grind through it. And I did. And as a result, had I quit, I never would have gotten a degree from Notre Dame. I never would have been a captain of the Notre Dame football team. Never would have gotten drafted in the NFL. Never would have had the story that I have. So I guess, but if I look back in that time, it could have been very, very easy for me to quit, but I had to rely on my faith that I knew this was going to get better. I knew this whole picture, this whole narrative was going to change. And God, thank God, like, you know, not even a year later, this coach moved on, and there was a couple other coaches that came in that they just, we totally clicked, and things were phenomenal. So I would just encourage any listeners out there, if you're going through a time, you know, right now where it's a little dark and you think that there's no light at the end of the tunnel, just have faith, stick through it. And, there's a lot of rewards at the end of that tunnel. If you have faith and courage and you have patience.
That's right. And I'm not going to ask you to name names, but I'm hoping and assuming, I've kind of convinced myself that it was not Lou Holtz that you're referring to.
No, it wasn't okay. Lou. I loved Lou. Lou recruited me. He was actually in my living room when I was a senior. And I've got a great Lou Holtz impression. I'll say that for the next show. But
well, and I do want to tell the audience, if anyone is new to Catholic Sports Radio or you aren't aware of this, Lou Holtz was a guest on this show back on episode 138. So you can go on CatholicSportsRadio.net and look for that interview and hear the stories that Lou told when he and I had a conversation. For that matter, I would also send you, audience, back to episode 125. My guest was Mike Neely, CEO. This is current. He is currently the CEO and executive director of the organizations that operate the Fiesta Bowl. And you heard me in the intro say that Dan, when he was with Notre Dame, played in the Fiesta Bowl game. So there's a couple of other interviews, if you didn't hear him, to go back and check out 138 with Lou Holtz and 125 with Mike Neely. And we're, for all intents and purposes, just 1 month away from the 2022 NFL Draft in Las Vegas. And so with a guest like Dan O'Leary on the show, clearly we all want to hear what it's like when an NFL team calls you to tell you that they're drafting you. But since I'm mentioning Lou Holtz and Mike Neely, another past guest on Catholic Sports Radio was Mike McQuaid, who was actually just on last month. And he has this message for the Catholic Sports Radio audience.
Hi, this is triathlete Mike McQuaid. I was blessed to be Bruce's guest back in February on episode 159 of Catholic Sports Radio. I truly believe in Bruce's ministry, and I've made a donation to help keep Catholic Sports Radio going. And I'd like to challenge you, the listening audience, to come together and cumulatively contribute $100 in support of Catholic Sports Radio, just as I did. When we're successful, I'll match that with another $100. It's super easy. Just go to the Donate to CSR button. It's blue and right on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That's how I did it, on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Let's support the great work that Bruce is doing and ensure that the good news of Christ is able to continue being spread far and wide to all those who need to hear these messages that guests are bringing forward on Catholic Sports Radio every week.
My thanks to Mike McQuaid for his contribution, as well as that challenge that he has set down. I do hope that you'll consider using the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net to take part in what you just heard him describe. If you've heard past episodes of the show, you know that I don't get any income from doing this show, and I don't have any sponsors. So all the expenses I have to somehow try to find a way to come up with out of my own pocket. So when guests like Mike, when audience members use the Donate to CSR button or send me a check, it very much helps out as I continue to try to keep this ministry going. Dan, go ahead and share with us about getting that call that you're being drafted into the NFL, but also, where is God in that time? Were you praying feverishly to get drafted? Did you, by any chance, go to church right after that to thank him in his house? Or is it, honestly, Bruce, I forgot my faith and I was just too caught up in, wow, awesome, I'm an NFL player now?
Oh, gosh, great question. I honestly was not, there was a lot of people that were just like, oh, gosh, if I don't get drafted, I don't know what I'm going to do. I was kind of along the lines of, like, if I didn't get drafted, I didn't think I would play. I wouldn't be one of those guys that tried to go into the Arena League or try to go to NFL Europe and really try to make it. Mm-hmm. I just kind of felt like, you know, it's kind of like our Father, you know, that will be done. You know, God's will, like, you know, whatever it is, for if it is to play football, it's going to happen. If it's not, then, you know, it's time to switch gears. So, mm-hmm. I was willing, you know, I was just okay with whatever happened. And, but I'll tell you what, it was a really cool feeling, seeing your name go across the screen. I was on the phone with, the Pittsburgh Steelers actually. And they had the pick after the Bills. I got drafted by the Bills, on the second day, in the sixth round, but I was actually on the line with the Steelers and they said that they're, you know, they're going to take me with the next pick. And, and then the Bills actually beeped in and they said, hey Dan, we're gonna take you with the next pick. And obviously I'm not paying attention to who has the next pick, but I told them, I was on the other line with the Steelers, and that they said the same thing, and they're like, well, we got the pick before them. It was back in that time frame where, like, you know, cell phones were just kind of brand new. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I think the cell phone bill was probably about $600 that I was on it for a few hours that day. But yeah, really cool feeling. All my best friends and my family were at my dad's house, and it was just, there's definitely you know, a feeling of thankfulness, and you know, there were prayers that were said right after that, and, you know, that was obviously his will for me. And yeah, it's kind of cool. It's cool to be able to have that story, and I've met so many very neat people in the NFL that, you know, I can, for every team that I was on, you know, go back and tell you that they're truly, and a lot of Christians too. A lot of, you know, there was a lot of fellowship, you know, before and after football games and once a week, and, you know, just fellowship meetings that we would go to. And it was just a great experience all around.
Awesome. And I'm going to ask the audience and Dan to bear with me. I'm going to go a long way towards this next question, but for the folks who might get disappointed by the end of this interview and say they didn't talk enough about Dan playing in the NFL, that's the point. ESPN's got that covered. Fox Sports has got that covered. That's one of the big things that makes my show different. It's we're not going to sit here and talk about X's and O's. We're not going to sit here and talk about wins and losses. And the fact of the matter is, one of the pillars of my Catholic Sports Radio ministry is exactly that. It's that we put God first and God alone. We don't worship sport. We don't live for sport, to talk about sport, to make our whole life revolve around sport. And so, whereas I do have a question to ask Dan that does relate to his time actually being in the NFL, you're going to see that the question is designed towards everything that I just talked about, that we can't put sports on such a pedestal that is what we're worshiping. And the case in point is a guest in the very beginning of this show who said to me on the air, he said, Bruce, this was an NHL player, and he still plays today. He said, if we're lucky, maybe we play into our age 30s, so maybe a 10-year NHL career if we're lucky. He said, so that's it, 10 years, but we have our faith for our entire life. So he's got his priorities in the right place. So Dan, what do you have to say to the folks listening who are raising a young football player, or to the young football player who is listening, as it relates to what I just talked about, and you being someone who got to play for three NFL teams, but you didn't have a 10-year career, you didn't have a 15-year career, you weren't in the NFL for 20 years?
Oh boy, that's a great question. I think, you know, right off the rip, I think it's one of those things where whether you're someone that's playing in grade school or high school or college or the NFL, it doesn't matter. I feel like it's my belief, God didn't create any one of us to be average. You know, God, my belief is God created every one of us to be exceptional in our own way. And, you know, if you think in terms of that and maximizing your God-given ability, whether that's, you know, if you're trying to be, you know, a starter on your high school team or college team or what have you, like, what are the things that you're doing in the weight room to maximize your God-given talent? You know, if you're 6'4", and you run a 4.640, like, what, and you're a strong individual, what are you doing with that? You know, are you maximizing that? Are you displaying, you know, the abilities on the field? And doing the best you absolutely can with what he's given you. I think it's honestly as simple as that. My dad, I always like to tell a story, never played a sport in his life. And for parents out there too, you know, there's a lot of parents that put so much pressure on their kids to perform. And, you know, that was one of the things I loved about my dad, is that he didn't. And he didn't, he just loved me for who I was and, you know, for what I was about. And, you know, and honestly, in retrospect, like, him not playing sports, like, I think for me, it didn't. It alleviated any of the pressure. So, like, the pressure that somebody might have in a third down and 15 situation that had to catch that ball for the first down, I didn't feel that pressure because, you know, I just felt like, what can I control in this moment? And, you know, not only in the moment, but, like, you know, you take it further. Like, what can you control in your life? There's a lot of people that worry about stuff, and they have angst, and they've got fear about certain things. You know, one thing I try to live by is, like, is it something that I can control, or is it out of my control? If it's out of my control, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to give it to God. Yeah. And if it's meant to be and it's part of his plan, then it's going to happen. And if it's not, then it's not his will. And I tell you what, that makes things a lot easier in life.
Indeed. And I want to continue my thought from before, that I said, Dan and I are not going to talk very much football on this episode. And that's also what I want you to see here, folks, is that you'd be surprised how many guests I contact to ask them to be on Catholic Sports Radio. And they are thrilled that somebody wants to let them talk about their faith instead of answering the same sports questions over and over. And what has Dan talked about through the overwhelming majority of this episode? His faith. And so once football is done, once basketball is done, once baseball, whatever sport you're in, is done, sure, people may want to hear some stories from you from time to time, but what are you doing in your faith life from that point on until you go to heaven? So I hope I made my point clear. I'm not scolding the audience because we're all sinners and we're all trying to get better in our faith, but I want to make sure people understand the foundation that this Catholic Sports Radio ministry is built on and appreciate the testimony that guests like Dan O'Leary are sharing. Dan, let's actually move now away from football and talk not about the kind that have to do with physical fitness, but exercises in the form of an 8-week program that you completed, Ignatian Spiritual Exercises.
Yeah. So I did this at Ignatius. This is after I graduated, and this is after my wife Kate and I had our firstborn Shane, and it was an 8-week program that I attended at Ignatius, and it really kind of furthered the experience that I kind of painted the picture on with confirmation, and it really emphasized that relationship with God. I think that's a part, Father Diao, the president of Ignatius, and I talked about this in a lunch meeting. It's probably about a couple months back, but that's such an important piece. It's one thing to go to Mass, which we try to do every single week, but I think it's another thing to be in a real conversation with your Creator. Sitting down with Jesus and talking with Him, and whatever's on your mind, journaling. And I've been doing this now for quite some time. I don't know how many years, double digit years. And it's kind of funny, like you write down what's on your mind and what's worrying you and what's, if you got angry one day about something. And, to this point too, I'll have to segue, it's kind of the Abraham Lincoln approach. Like they said, he wrote so many letters to different generals and, reaming them out, right? And then never sending them. And it's kind of one of those things where you're writing everything that's on your mind and having a conversation with Jesus. And I just typed this out. And then you kind of listen and you try to write what you think He's saying to you. Mm. And I'll tell you what, the takeaways, like the bullet points that you come away with, are so powerful. And a lot of it is you create this atmosphere. You light a candle, you turn off the lights, and you allow the Holy Spirit into the room, and you're intentionally setting a time and setting aside a time to spend with Jesus. And that has been so powerful for me, especially now looking back at things that maybe I wrote 5 years ago. I kind of laugh at some of the things that I was worried about. Like, why would I be worried about? I can't even control that. So, but that really, the 8-week spiritual exercises, it helped me just really get in tune with just the relationship part, the actual relationship and the conversations that I'm having with Jesus Christ.
Outstanding. You have been coaching sports at St. Bernadette for the past 8 years. Share with the audience about that, including what the focus is.
It's really cool to kind of go back and share my experiences that I've learned athletically, but also like, just with per the theme of your show, just where are your gifts coming from? And you score a touchdown, you look up and give glory to God, and really just glorifying God with every single play out there. You may not be a starter, or you might be the most athletic person in the world, or maybe not be the most athletic person, but no matter what, you know, you're giving it your 110%, and you know, it hurts to do the conditioning. It hurts to, you know, to put in the work and, you know, the mental work for the, you know, understanding the plays and all the things that go into being an athlete. But if you think of it in terms of, hey, you're making God smile up there with what you're doing. You know, it's a different perspective that, you know, that we try to emphasize as much as we can.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Talk to us also, Dan, about the power of no.
So the power of no, this was an email that one of our sales directors at Garland sent out. This is a long time ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago. And it was Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett was the one that came up with this. And it was called the power of no. And I can email you this whole entire, it's a one page document, but I'll just boil it down for you. Like, basically it's getting crystal clear with who it is and you want to be and what it is that you want to accomplish, and try to boil it down to like maybe 3 to 4 bullet points. And if and think of every single decision that comes your way, every choice that you make, you kind of revert back to those 3 to 4 things that you're crystal clear about. And if it doesn't fall within those categories, you just say no to it.
Mm.
Somebody calls you and, you know, it wants you to go out and party all night, and, you know, that's not within your, you know, your criteria of the four or five things that you really are important to you, then you say no to it. You know, because whatever you're saying no to, you know, you can then say yes to the other things that you're, you know, you're really emphatic about and you're really excited about.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Well, let's close by having you tell us about your immediate family, including raising your children in the faith.
Yeah, Bruce, I'm so blessed to have my wife, Kate. Her name's Lally, and I've been married. We've been married now for 15 years. We've been together 17, and just very blessed to have her. You know, just be at my side, and she makes me a better person every single day. And Irish Catholic too, so you know, we're raised in a similar fashion. And you know, we've been very blessed to have three boys. Shane is 13, Ryan is 11, and Colin is 8. They're all very involved with sports. Shane plays football, and now he's getting into rugby. And Ryan is into golf, basketball. And Colin, my youngest, he's involved in football, basketball, baseball, a little bit of everything. And they're all servers for, you know, they all go to Catholic grade schools. They're all servers. And, yeah, very, very blessed that all, you know, healthy and just, you know, I'm a little biased, but great, great kids, you know.
Praise God. It sounds like a beautiful family. And Dan, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catholic Sports Radio, and blessings to you and your family. I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Well, God bless you too, Bruce, for what you're doing. And, you know, it's really admirable, you know, that this is just something that you're doing for the greater good and not getting paid for it. I think it's an excellent, excellent ministry that, you know, you're interviewing people and that are maybe connecting with, you know, one or two listeners, even if that's the only listeners that they connect, that are connecting. If you reach one person, that's, boy, you know, that's, you're doing your job. So
Amen.
Kudos to you. That's awesome.
Wow. Well, thank you for saying that. But yeah, I say that myself, probably off the air too many times. I probably should say that on the air, because it's exactly the way I feel, as if the work that I'm doing moves one person closer in their faith, then praise God for using me to be that vehicle that enabled them to do so. But thank you for your kind words. I do appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me today, Bruce, and yeah, all the best.
And so, listeners, you heard at the end there, and we've heard other guests do this before, but I just felt moved in preparing for today's show that as easy as it would be for our closing prayer this week to be a player prayer, you did hear Dan talk so proudly about being a dad and about him and his wife being parents to their three boys. So let's close this week with a prayer for parents and do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant us, O Lord Jesus, the strength to imitate faithfully the example of your holy family and to make our home another Nazareth. May peace, love, and happiness prevail in all things and all games. Grant us the grace to be the parents we should be for our children. Grant that our child may find solid support for their human dignity and for their growth in truth and love within the embrace of their team. May Saint Sebastian watch and guide them in their efforts as he guides us in support of our children. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.